Father, this morning, again, we can just come in the name of your Son, Jesus, standing in this grace of your goodness, of your loving kindness, of your favor, of you just reaching in through your Son, Jesus, opening up the reality that in him we have been blessed in every single way in the spiritual realm. And we want to thank you through you, Lord, and we receive today what our Father wants to impart into our lives, the gifts that he wants to impart into our lives, the understanding, whatever, Father, we say amen, and we just through your Son thank you for your incredible kindness in reaching out into our lives, helping us here to live in this on this earth. So we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for sharing with us and giving us understanding and insights to the revelation of Jesus Christ, the glory that we see in him and the glory that we see of our Heavenly Father and through Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you as you impart to us and you minister to us. So again, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done here amongst our lives, in our nation, in our communities, Father, in our homes, wherever we may be. We want to thank you as you share with us the way you do things, and we can just learn how to rest and just to participate with you in this incredible journey of living out our lives here on earth as we wait for the time when there's the full redemption of our bodies and we get our new spiritual body. So we want to thank you for this moment where we as a family can share, we as a family can listen to you and say yes to you, Father. And we want to just to see you being glorified in your Son Jesus, but also in us as your family, as we just live out our love for you. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh. This morning we're going to continue basically where we left off last Sunday, and we're looking at that scripture in Romans chapter 5, where we see there that since we've been justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access, we have peace with God, we have access into this grace in which we now stand. And we often, you know, I know for myself, we would read that scripture, but this is where we are being established deeper into what it actually means to stand in the grace of God. How does it impact our lives? How does it impact those around us? How does it impact our communities? And so we are being established in the revelation of standing in this grace of God and beginning to see the fruit, the manifestation of that. And that's what we've been looking at over there. So it's not just, again, like I normally say, a fridge magnet, you know, about the grace of God, but it's actually participating in this grace. It's actually living in the reality of experiencing grace. And anything to do with the way of God requires the faith that imparts to us. So remember, faith is divine persuasion. So as we're going through this, our Heavenly Father, by the Holy Spirit, will share with us, and we will be fully persuaded that we stand in this grace of God. And as we by faith are fully persuaded, we now respond to that and we start to renew our mind. We start to become conscious, and throughout the day, you know, every now and again, we'll just be very conscious and we'll just stop and just renew our thinking and say, God, thank you. I'm standing in this grace of yours. You are leaning forward. Your favor, your kindness, your love is in the action. Yeah, you're imparting life to me. You're imparting insight. You're imparting wisdom all the time. Your favor is upon my life and my family. And you're just appropriating it by faith all the time. And then it's not long before you start to see the fruit of that, because truth has a fruit, and that fruit is always life. It's always a revelation of God, who he is. And so as you appropriate truth, truth sets free, and we begin to experience the fruit of that, whatever the Father shared with us over there, and we start to experience it. And that's the whole journey for us there, is to live in the reality of the truth that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ, and not just having it out there and hoping and wishing that we could experience how true the Word of God is, but to actually live in the reality of the Word of God. And so there's so much that God is opening up for us to be able to live in and to experience how real He is. And I share this because, you know, Dickie and I were with a family yesterday, and, you know, just listening to their story. And one of the things that was so evident was when folk are desperate and they're needing answers, they're needing help, that they're needing a miracle, it is so easy to go to places that seems to be offering the solution. And in this over there, it is so easy for us to begin to believe another Jesus. And so that's why we want to walk, the body of Christ wants to walk in the reality of the kingdom of God. Because from this family's perspective over there, they looked in the church and they did not see the evidence of the kingdom of God. They did not see the evidence of truth being manifested. And so they went to somewhere where the truth was, the so-called truth was being manifested, and they got caught up in it over there. And that's important as we go into this, because when we look at when Paul speaks about the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he begins and he shares over there that now, I don't want you to be unaware or ignorant about spiritual gifts. And again, as I shared the other day there, that word gifts is not in there. It's speaking about, I do not want you to be unaware, uninformed on how the spiritual realm works. Because in the spiritual realm, the demonic also operates in gifts. And so that is why he brings in the criteria how to discern, and how we discern in the spiritual realm what gifts are operating, whether it's the gifts of the demonic or it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus in this. And that's why all the time we've got to be so careful of the reality, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're busy looking at over there. And that's what this grace is about right now for us. So when we go back to our scripture readings that we've been looking at there in Romans chapter 1, remember God's good news. God's good news is all about His Son Jesus Christ. It's who He is. And you will see now why religion and how Satan has blinded, because he's against this. He is against the good news of God, and he will use whatever scheme that he can use in order to prevent men and women from experiencing, from having the revelation of God's good news that is in His Son Jesus Christ. And so all the time we're getting back to the reality of Jesus. And when we looked at this last week, remember when we looked at John chapter 14, or let's go to John chapter 1 first. In John chapter 1, we notice over there that concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, let me just get there in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, we carry on, and we see here concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, when in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. And it carries on in verse 16, out of His fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. And as we looked at last Sunday, that the mission of Jesus, the reason for his incarnation, the reason for him coming to this planet Earth, was to make the Father known to mankind. So his mission was to reveal his heavenly Father. And so everything that our Lord Jesus did while he was living on this earth was continually making the Father known. And again, as we looked at over there, because only Jesus knows the Father, he's been with him from the beginning. So when we looked at this in John chapter 14, and we saw over there in John chapter 14, where Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus says, "But don't you know, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" And this is such a key truth for you and I as children of God. Jesus revealed the Father. That's his mission. All the time, what he did, the way he did things. And now he goes on and he now begins to tell us as his children, he carries on and as we say over there. So whatever we see Jesus doing, you have to see the Father doing it through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is revealing the Father. "This is to my Father's glory," Jesus says to us as his disciples, "that you bear much fruit." "This is to my Father's glory," he says. "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in his Son, Jesus Christ." And so all the time, Jesus' heart is to reveal the Father so that the Father is glorified through his life and through the revelation of who he is in what he's saying and what he's doing. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 20, Paul's praying and it's the same thing. And he prays, "Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit," he carries on over there, "now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more." And he goes, "so that God may be glorified in the church, in the family of God, and in his Son, Jesus Christ." So we're starting to see the connection taking place of what this grace is all about. God reaching out to mankind, even though we don't deserve the goodness and the love and the mercy, etc., of God. God is reaching out and giving us the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, the good news that he gives to us, his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can have eternal life. And so as a body of Christ, that is why the old nature has been crucified with Jesus. That's why in Christ's resurrection, we've been raised with him to live a new life, because now as believers, with the Spirit of life operating within us, participating in his divine nature, who is being revealed? Paul says, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." He says, this body is fading away, but inwardly we are being renewed day after day, so that the life of Christ is being revealed through our bodies. And this is the journey for you and I to participate in this grace, because this grace is all about our Heavenly Father being made known, reaching out, touching people's lives with love in action, through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I, as a family of God, that's our commission. That's our calling. That's why we are light, we salt to this world, so that as we live in the power of the victory of Christ Jesus, our old Adamic nature being crucified, now we find we are free of sin. Now we don't have to choose sin. Now we are slaves to righteousness. And as we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, the life of the Holy Spirit, imparting the life of Jesus, we begin to really be a witness. And the glory of God is seen in our lives and through our lives. And that's the light, that's the salt, that who we are as the family of God. And so Jesus carries on, and we see there in verse 7 of John 14, If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. For now on, you know him and have seen him. So again, here we see, as I shared last Sunday, Jesus revealing the Father to his disciples. They could see Jesus. They are seeing the Father because it's the Father working through him. This is the oneness. And remember, Jesus prayed, may they be one, just as we are one, Father, so that the world will know that you have sent me. And this is the oneness we're speaking about, this incredible oneness where we are one with God in reaching out and in being so intimate with God, in union with him through Christ Jesus, yielded to him, taking the truth, applying the truth to our lives, with our minds set on things above, our hearts set on things above, seeking first the kingdom of God, all the teachings of Jesus we are applying in our lives. This is the oneness, so that the world now, through us as his family, will know that the Father has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, because they can see the victory of Christ. They can see the power of the cross of Christ operating in our lives. They can see the evidence, the fruit of what Christ has done in his death and his resurrection and his glorification. They can see that in us as his family, as the body of Christ here on earth. And that's why what God is sharing with us is such an important message for the time we're in, where darkness is growing, but righteousness is also maturing. Righteousness is also being manifested more and more. Where darkness covers the earth, the glory of God covers us as his people. The light shines through us and upon us. And so we are the witnesses in this time, and we'll continue to shine even brighter every step of the way. Now, remember when Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, and he says, now add to your faith goodness, knowledge, understanding, etc. And this is what's actually taking place. God has given us faith to just receive Jesus, to know that he's real, to be in a relationship with him. And now by the Spirit, every time the Spirit gives us revelation, we're adding to our faith. We're appropriating that truth. And as we add to our faith, we become more fruitful, become more effective in the ways of God, as Peter writes. And that's what's happening to us all the time. Now, in John chapter 14, we continue. And remember now, Jesus starts to share, I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Paul just says it differently. Now, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus doing his work through me, and we in the partnership and the oneness and the joy of being one with Jesus in letting the Father be glorified. And then he carries on, believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Because these works reveal the Father. Very important. These works reveal the Father. They are the evidence of the grace of God flowing through our lives. So that's important as we go on in understanding what it means to stand in grace. Then we carry on, and he says over there, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And so the rest of the chapter from John 14 onwards, right through to John 17, Jesus then begins to share with us how we are going to be doing what he has been doing. We're going to receive the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son are going to come now, dwell in us, make their home within us. Now, as we walk in the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God brings us into a reality, we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. For apart from him, we will not be able to bear any fruit. The fruit is this, the works of God being manifested through our lives. And so that's why John 14 to 17, Jesus, all of the teaching that Jesus gives explains how he lived in this oneness with the Father while on this earth. And that's for you and I to be able to receive and to learn and to be able to continue, as Jesus says, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you wish, whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And this is where today I think God wants us to stop a little bit over here as we look at the reality of praying again while understanding being in this grace of God, standing in this grace, understanding this grace of God, understanding what God's grace is all about, and knowing now that when we pray in the name of Jesus, Jesus revealed the fullness of grace and truth. So when we're praying in the name of Jesus, it's the reality of the fullness of grace and truth being made known. We're entering into that to receive that to be manifested here on earth as it is in heaven. But he goes on and he says something very important here. He says over there, on the day, because when the Holy Spirit comes, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. You will see me. Because I live, you also will live. There's a lot there. I'm not going to go into that now. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father and you are in me. This is when they received the Holy Spirit. So when you and I got born again and we received the Holy Spirit, this became real to us. Very real. On that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Now, verse 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Guys, this truth, I believe, as we're now learning the incredible truth of standing in this grace of God, this goodness of God, this loving, active love of God reaching out through his Son, Jesus Christ, because grace comes through Jesus. The fullness of grace comes through Jesus. Now, our Father, through Jesus, Jesus is the good news, and the good news of God. Now we can enter in and receive the grace of God, the good news of God. And that now as we're starting to understand this, here's something very, very important. Because here we see God loves the world. God so loved the world. But here we see another aspect of this love of God, which I will title relational love. It's like you may love your neighbors and that, but the love you have for your wife and your family is totally different. It's the same as this. But now we're in the family. There's a dimension. There's a fullness of love that only we as children of God are able to experience and live, being loved, lived in the reality of the love of God. That's why Paul prays for the revelation of us being established and rooted in the love of Christ, so that we know this. But he says over there, and I'm not going to go into keeping the commands and so forth. I'm just focusing on the end one over here. And I too will love them and show myself to them. Yes, something very important of Christ revealing himself to the believer who continually takes what the Spirit of God is sharing and applies it to their life and begin to operate in that truth. There's the increase of revelation of Christ Jesus. And whenever Jesus, the Spirit of God, is revealing Jesus to you and I, we see the Father and our heart, and we worship the Father because the Father is being glorified in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why there's never a lopsidedness of just the Holy Spirit or just Jesus or just the Father. The Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus. Jesus will always take us to the Father, and we'll see the reality of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all the time, and we worship God. And that, but here he will show us now. Remember, as we saw last time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. As I shared, Jesus' mission is to reveal the Father. Satan's mission is to prevent mankind from seeing the revelation of God the Father in his Son Jesus Christ. Satan's mission is to stop the good news of God, because the good news of God is his Son revealing the goodness of God the Father, making the Father known. And that, because it's God's good news. Okay? And so we've got to understand that now. Now Jesus says to, as we saw there in John, Jesus says over there that those who love me, those who are perishing, those who do not believe, Satan has blinded, they cannot see me. But you who love me, you who follow me, you who apply my teachings and live as my disciples, I will show myself to you. And all of a sudden, we're starting to see something very profound here, because in not only in our own personal lives, but now as the family of God, the gathering. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 18? Again, a well-known scripture that we speak. I know it's in the context of authority in the kingdom of God, but he says over there, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. You who love me, I will show yourself to you. And all of a sudden, where the call out ones, the ecclesia, the assembly, those of us who have been called out of the dominion of darkness, and now we're in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his Son whom he loves, the kingdom of God. When we now are walking with the Spirit is sharing with us the things on the Father's heart, and now he's communicating to our spirit, and we're coming together as the ecclesia, as the called out ones, as the assembly of God, and we come in the name of Jesus. We're coming in the name of Jesus. In other words, in the name of Jesus, we have peace with God. In the name of Jesus, we're in this grace in which we now stand. There is a revelation of Christ that is being made. Here in this corporate setting, we see how Jesus is making himself known to the body of Christ for us who love him. And this, guys, is a now word for us as a family of God. That's why the understanding of faith, the understanding of what Christ has done, the understanding of coming into this realm of his grace, and that in being set free from religious tradition, from religious duty, from all the religion of why we go to church, et cetera, and all those kind of things over there. Now we realize, as we together in the name of Jesus, and we love him and we are applying the truth to him, our Lord is revealing himself to us. And that's why the testimonies, that's why the sharing plays a big part, because now by the Spirit of God, there's a revelation that is being made known to us. And as he shows himself, this word shows, it's a big word, because he manifests himself. He exhibits himself. He declares himself. And if you go back to the time of Jesus with the disciples, what happened over there? Jesus was there with them. Jesus is revealing himself to them there. And what's taking place? They are experiencing life-changing realities in their lives. But not only them, the people around them. So as Jesus and his disciples, where two or three are gathered in his name, where Jesus and his disciples are there, what's taking place? There's miracles. What's taking place? There's deliverance, there's healing, there's the feeding of the 5,000. There's all these things are taking place because our Lord is showing himself, grace and truth, the fullness of grace, reaching out to the undeserved, reaching out to men and women, reaching out to mankind, because we as believers, not religious gatherings, but we who love him in the spirit, we who are in the, this is now, and I declare this in Jesus' name, the manifestation of this in our communities. The glory of God is going to be made known now in and through his believers, his family that are coming in his name, not in the name of church, in the name of denomination, in the name of religion, but coming in the name of Jesus, in what he has done, in the freedom, in the life of Christ, and the law of the Spirit operating in. Now, Jesus will now manifest himself. Our Lord will make himself known. He will declare who he is as God declared to Moses. As Moses said, show me yourself, show me you. And God then walked about and God declared, manifested, showed himself. I'm a compassionate God, merciful God, etc. And that then the glory of God was made known, the revelation of God. This is the time, and I declare that today in the name of Jesus. Okay. And so, yeah, we have something very important when Jesus speaks about this. Now, one of the great things or Satan, remember, Satan is blinded. And even amongst the believers, amongst Christians, one of the ways or the heartbeat of Satan is to prevent us as believers from walking in the increased reality of our Lord manifesting himself, revealing himself. And that's why he would use whatever to as counterfeits to get us distracted, to get us following something else that we believe is the real Jesus Christ. And so that is why now that's his strategy. Now, when you and I are appropriating, but thank you, Lord, I'm in your grace and your kingdom come, your will be done. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now unto God is able to be able to keep us pure and holy right until the very end. This truth is all flowing out of God's grace because we are appropriating it by faith. We are asking for his divine leadership by the Holy Spirit all the time, and he starts to show us. Now this is what takes place. Remember, one of the things that is so, so important, Jesus says, if you love me, because remember, with the new nature, we have our desire, our minds are set in what the Spirit desires. Now, when we are participating in the law of the Spirit of life, there's a natural love for God. It's flowing because he's put his love into our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So now there's not a human love. There's a natural love for our Lord Jesus, for our Heavenly Father. Now, as we are obeying there, Jesus makes himself known. Okay. Now, Satan comes, and his strategy is in how does he blind the unbeliever? How does he blind? Well, one of the main things that he uses is what we call religion. And religion is to deal with the spiritual realm. So the Muslims wanting to connect to the spiritual realm, the Hindus wanting to connect to the spiritual realm, the Mormons, the Satanists, and the Christians, all of us, it's wanting to connect to the spiritual realm. Now, what Satan does is that he will always do these two things. He will either remove Christ from that religion, who Christ really is, or he will say, okay, let's leave Jesus there, but let's add on to Jesus. And this is what Paul is dealing with here with the church in Galatians. And he says over there, do not be burdened by, again, so it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Stand firm in this grace in which you now stand. Through Christ, there's no condemnation. Through Christ, you've been set free. Through Christ, you've been justified. Through Christ, by the faith he's given us, we have peace with God. So we have this freedom. Now stand firm in this grace, because as long as you and I are standing in this grace of God, we experience the freedom. We're experiencing the work of the cross operating in our lives. We're experiencing the life of the Spirit Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Stand firm in this grace. Do not let yourself be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, this is again where now Satan will say, well, they believe in Jesus. Let's rather add something on to get them out of standing in grace and get them into the works to try and get their lives better. They don't really need Jesus. Circumcision works is more important than Jesus. What we're doing is more important than Jesus. And so they stepped out of the fullness of grace and truth that only comes through Jesus Christ. And they're stepping into the reality, oh no, let me now add on because Jesus is not enough. I've got to do this just to guarantee my salvation, just to make sure I'm saved. I've got to do this. I've got to add all these things on and that. So be aware of that. Because then Christ will be of no value at all. And he carries on and he says over there, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So it's important for you and I to consciously be aware of the place that we stand in. We're standing in this grace of God because we simply believe in Jesus. And that takes me to probably the most important verse this morning, because this is the strategy of Satan. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, Satan has blinded the minds, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Everything that the enemy will do will try and get us out of this pure, sincere devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his strategy for us who believe. The unbeliever, the unsaved, he's blinded and so they cannot see the glory of God. But now we have seen the glory of Christ. We've seen God in Christ Jesus. We've had the revelation. So what the enemy does now, he will now come and to try and deceive us, just like he deceived Eve. He tries to deceive us. And this word deceive, let me just get you some of the meanings of these words. The word deceived is to seduce wholly. So he starts with the mind, and then eventually we as a whole person, just like Eve, went into action and ate the fruit. Satan always wants to deal with your thoughts, with your mind, okay? In order to say, Jesus is not enough. Jesus hasn't worked for me. Let me try something else because Jesus is not enough. We stepped out of the realm of grace. We stepped out of that grace. We're not standing firm in the grace, okay? Sometimes we've got to wrestle in a sense with, take these thoughts captive and now bring it back to the obedience of Jesus Christ. In him, he's enough. Our Lord Jesus is our life. We are rooted in him. And what he has done, we in this grace, Father, I come to your throne of grace. I'm needing help. I'm needing mercy. And you will receive it because the Father, through his Son, is leaning forwards and imparting whatever we need to help us to be able to live as Jesus lived on this planet Earth. And so carries on over there, this word here, corrupt, may somehow lead you astray. It's the word corrupt over here. It's to destroy, it's to spoil, it's to ruin, it's to move one from a higher level to a lower form. And that's all the time. The last thing Satan wants us to be able to live in the truth of being seated with Christ. And so he says, okay, because that's the realm of grace. Now, let me come and deceive you and whatever way he does over there in his craftiness there, to bring us down to be ground bound, to be earthly bound, to be so fixed on this worldly situations and so tied up and enslaved by the problems of this world. And then he's quite happy because he doesn't want you and I to experience loving God and Jesus showing himself, Jesus making himself known to us so that we can live as Christ lived. And that He doesn't want the church to walk in that authority. He doesn't want the believers to walk in that revelation of what Christ has done, who he is, because Satan knows when we as his family are living like that there, he's got a problem. Because Christ came to set captives free. Christ came. The reason Christ came was to destroy the works of Satan. He doesn't want us to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? He'll do anything, and religion is his main weapon to prevent us from seeing Jesus. So, as again, religion is take Jesus out. Say, for instance, the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's a religion that has removed the real Jesus. You see? You take your Muslim faith. They have Jesus in there as a prophet. Satan has removed and blinded them to the revelation of who Christ Jesus is there. And so in the Christian circle, you can have over there the church doctrines, all these kind of things become more important. And so they're more devoted to the disciplines of the church and not to the pure, simple devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, just this word craftiness, because this word craftiness over there, this the serpent's cunning, this word craftiness, it's a very interesting word. It is a skill, a shrewdness that stops at nothing to achieve the devil's purpose. And so you've got to be aware that he will stop at nothing to get you and I to stop simply believing in Jesus Christ. In other words, to step out of grace and to get back into human effort and to live like that over there. He will do anything to deceive us over there. When Jesus, or when Paul writes about the armor of God, he actually addresses it. He says, "Now be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." And that's what it means to be hidden in Christ Jesus. Guys, be aware at this time, because we're in this place where it's the time where we as believers are being set free continually from religion, from the tradition of religion. We've been set free from that over there. We are finding the way we now begin to live our lives in Christ Jesus is totally different. There's a freedom. There's the advance of the kingdom of God. There's the manifestation of signs and wonders. All of this is starting to take place now. Now the enemies, I don't like what's taking place. Be careful of any teaching. Be careful of anything that is trying to get you away from your pure devotion to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Be very careful. May all sound wonderful with all the wonderful, these heavenly encounters, those heavenly encounters, all of these things, etc., etc., etc. Be careful that you're not led astray and now you're no longer walking in that pure devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that worries of life, what the politicians are saying, what the RAND is doing, what the riots, etc., all of this is to buy and to remove us from walking in faith, and experiencing how Jesus is making himself known in the midst of the riots. Jesus is making himself known in the midst of unemployment. Jesus is revealing himself to you in the midst of your storms and that over there. He's walking on the water and invites us to walk on the water with him in the midst of all the trials and tribulations. Pure, simple devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must make sure. And one last verse, very important scripture, where Paul is writing to Jude, and it's all in the context of living in a world where there's so much evil, there's so much deception, all of that, being persecuted. And then he comes and he says over there, "But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring to you eternal life." And then he carries on. "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority to Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Guys, standing in this grace, here we have verse 24 and 25 in operation in our lives. God is keeping us from stumbling. God is keeping us from falling. God is keeping us from being deceived. We may have a bit of a wobbly, but God is bringing us back. God keeps us. God, by His Spirit, gives us truth, sets us free so that we continue in our pure devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we conclude this morning, as Jesus lived all the time to bring, to make the Father known, you and I now, as His family, we live so that, again, our Lord Jesus Christ has made known through our lives. And as Jesus is made known through our lives, people now will be able to see what our Heavenly Father is all about, our Father reaching out. And so as we now appropriate and live in the reality of this grace of God through Jesus Christ, simply He has done it for us. All we got to do is to walk, to have that pure devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will find ourselves all the time experiencing the flow of the fullness of His grace and truth as He makes Himself known to you and I. And so as our community, our town, the workplace where we are, in the schools, in our neighbors and their families, as we live in this realm of grace and we continue to walk with our devotion to Jesus, you will experience there in the school the effects of grace. As Christ, as I said, was with the disciples, the crowds around Him experienced the manifestation of Jesus. Now, as you and I are appropriating this truth, the crowds around us in our communities, in the schools, in our workplace, will start to experience the manifestation of Jesus. He's showing Himself where two or three are gathered. And this is awesome. So, guys, I'm excited. Yeah. So as we have communion this morning, really just have a time of just celebrating the incredible goodness of God, the love of God, as we just participate in His incredible grace. We're in this realm of grace, and Christ is going to... I better stop. So let me just have a prayer of yeah, because I want to just pray something first. Father, once again, thank You that You are the one that through Jesus has given us such good news. It's through Jesus that we can experience the incredible meaning of Your goodness, of what this good news is all about. So we want to thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, it's through Your death and resurrection that we now are able to participate. We are family of Yours. We've been adopted into Your family, and we want to thank You. And as You've been sharing with us, I want to thank You how You just delight in revealing Yourself to each and every one of us. So I want to thank You, Father, for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that is busy working in the body of Christ, in our community, in our nation, and the nations all over. And we thank You, Jesus. We get excited for the time we're in to be able to see, no matter how darkness increases, here we see You building Your ecclesia. You are building Your church. And we are seeing, Lord Jesus, Your beauty, Your glory. We are seeing this masterpiece that You have put together, us as the body of Christ. And so here we are, Lord, celebrating You, eating with You in the heavenly realms, participating in Your death and resurrection, and just worshiping You. And Father, this we thank You through Jesus.